Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
At Bart and Han, Twitter, Instagram, and all that as well. If you, of course, are shy. A lot of people say that, Bart, when I see them. It's like, they're like, oh, I always want to call in, but, you know, I'm uncomfortable calling in. I don't know what to say. I'm like, all right, well, then tweet at me then, man. Like, we can do it like that. Some people are a little shy, and they just don't want to. They don't want to join in on a conversation by calling in.
Step out your zone. We your family. Right. That's said, you ain't calling strangers. We family, man. We those cousins that you meet at the family reunion that you already know with your cousins. It's okay. Reach out to us and you'll understand that we just people.
Reach out and touch someone.
We just saw, hey, well, I don't know if we can say that anymore.
I don't know if you're allowed to do that anymore. Is
that? So many things that we can't say anymore. Reach out and touch someone.
You understand that was a jingle. By the phone company.
Whoopi got in trouble because she said, I got gypped. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. That's now offensive to gypsy people.
What?
Yeah, she got in trouble because she said gypped. And, you know, that's just something like, oh, man, you gypped me, right?
That was some kid. We used to say as kids. I never knew what it meant.
I think we have to have a whole class for old people that needs to know what used to be acceptable. That's not acceptable.
Do we
anymore.
Need another one of those George Carlin things you cannot say?
Yeah, because I didn't know that gyp
volume two
come from gypsy gypsy people saying that they stay still. So I'm like, come on, I'm like, man, I almost wish I was just reprogrammed, like, because certain stuff you just can't say. Like, I can't go full Tropic Thunder no more. Can't say that no more.
No, you can't.
I mean, you ever watch some of the movies that you used to laugh at and you watch and you can't laugh no more?
Like you laugh inside because you're not sure if you're supposed to laugh. I do that all the time with your jokes. I just smile.
what was the one with Special K with Johnny Knoxville, and they were supposed to be like Special Olympics. And he was trying to rig the Special Olympics. Oh, it's one of my favorite movies, man. I gotta burn it. About. The Ringer. Yeah, I gotta burn it.
Yeah.
Ringer's amazing. Special K was amazing. You know what I mean? Special athlete. I had a guy just like Special K that was on my block. Man, he put in work. Greatest athlete I ever seen in my life. Like I tell people all the time, I'm not even close to the best athlete that was in my hood. I'm the only one that just stayed consistent. Bondero Boyd. Amazing.
Wait, what? Say that
name
again.
His name was Bondero. Right? That should let you know, first of all.
Wait, Bondero. Now, is this one of those apostrophe names?
Nah, I don't know if it's a semicolon backsplash. I don't know. Bondero Boyd, the greatest athlete I've ever seen. Bondero Boyd actually is now related to me because my sister had a baby by his brother, so I guess that makes us family, but I can never claim that side of family because they too damn crazy. Can never claim that side of family. Bondero Boyd didn't learn how to say his ABCs till he was like in seventh grade. Bondero Boyd was a wizard with that basketball. You heal me? He can do everything. Greatest receiver I've ever seen. Greatest basketball player I've ever seen. Bondero Boyd.
Bondero. Why do y'all always, like, take two names and put them into one?
Listen, me and JB, you know, I love JB, but we used to have these things like, man, we need to have an intervention with some of these black parents. Like, you setting your kid up for failure. People can say whatever they want. Bartholomew, you got a name, Bart Simpson. Hey, Bartholomew is going to get a damn interview. We got to be careful out here in our community about how we setting our kids up. Lartavius Maximus ain't getting no interview.
Well, I mean, Bondero. Let's start there.
Yeah, Jacob. Yeah, Jacob's biblical. Jake. All right.
Jacob on board.
Jacob,
that's just like Bartholomew.
When she was pregnant with him, you know what I mean? He's gonna throw that in there. Okay,
Jacob is a biblical name that you see that on a resume. It's like, oh,
yeah, so it's
Jacob.
Bartholomew.
Sure,
so it's Bartholomew.
Bartholomew.
You don't
as
know.
Well.
Listen, half the time when I show up, I remember when I met Calvin Pace for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "Yo, they were talking about this guy Bart Scott." When I was in Arizona, yeah, Bart Scott, this bro. I'm like, man, forget Bart Scott. Let me see who this chump is. We played y'all. I was like, oh, crap, he black. Like, damn, Calvin, that's messed up. I guess I do got two first names. First of all, Bart Scott, then Bartholomew. You would never think. I'm probably – usually when I meet people, I'm their first. I'm the first black Bart they ever met. Outside, you know, they think black Bart is a cowboy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you,
Star.
How many other black Barts do you know?
My dad and my son.
Well, your son is BJ. Your son was like, nah, man, you call me BJ. No, we're not doing that.
He was like, come on, man. All right, man, first of all, why you give me this long-ass name? You know what's crazy? Kids don't even use cursive anymore.
No.
Like, we make everything so easy for these damn kids. Yep. How can you take out a whole form of writing? You want, listen, you know how, like, back in the day, right, we had, like, the people that broke, like, the Indian code or the Native Americans' codes, and they broke the German code. All we got to do to confuse our kids is write a damn cursive. That's
They'll
it.
They'll never be able to read it.
They wouldn't know what the hell it is.
No.
It looks like an F, but it's rounded and squiggly. Like, man, this is like, come on, man. Like, how can we make this environment, this age,
I'll tell you
softer?
What. Who uses cursive? Because I did 12 years of Catholic school. So I had, at one point, I had the most beautiful penmanship you've ever seen.
Beautiful.
My cursive was on point. It was perfect.
Amazing.
All these years later, I 15 years as a sports writer where you have a notepad and you're just scratching away just as furiously as you can to just keep up with whoever is talking. I can't write anymore. I cannot write neatly anymore.
No,
it's
practice.
Like a lost art. It's gone. I don't
remember
have
that
it anymore.
Fountain pen? Let me tell you something.
Yeah, you get the right kind of fountain pen. Forget about it. You could do anything if you have the right
so
kind
eloquent.
Of
you can mack anybody. You can mack
ballpoint.
Anybody.
Oh, forget it.
Anybody out there that got a girl that they really like, write them a fountain pen letter.
Yes. Yeah. There's something that flows like the feel of
draw
a really dropper. Good ballpoint pen can almost make you write better. Because it just feels right.
It makes you, like, sophisticated. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
sophisticated.
You feel elegant. Elegant.
It's crazy, you know? Man. You know, like, it, with that being said, you know, I did that. And now look at society, man. Now that's why we got load management, because we stopped cursive. We stopped cursive in school. That's why we got load management. Because now, listen, like they always say, tough times make tough men.
How did you equate the
easy
two?
Easy time. Because everything, look at how many things we make in life.
Everything's
easier.
Made easier.
Right. Yeah. Listen, dude, like I was sitting there with the kid. I told you I was in Miami. I was with my one of my best friends, Jack. And I'm sitting with his son. Mm-hmm. They use bots to write papers. They ain't even got to study no more. You heard about the AI that they using it. And then, listen, this is the thing, right? Okay, you can say, well, we find out that you did AI. It's all original. You say, AI, write me a book report on the Middle Passage. I don't know why I pushed slavery. I don't know. I watched Roots the other day. But anyway, and they'll just write it. But here's the thing. Here's the way around that so that you don't get caught. And I shouldn't – well, all the kids are in school right now, so it's all good. Unless they're on spring break, and I'm sorry, parents. All you do is you have the AI write you a book report. And then you summarize the book report and write the book report in your own words. That way, it's like a spinoff from what they told you. But you know, factually,
you play telephone with the AI
is what
you're doing.
Right.
You're taking whatever they came up with and then you put it in your own words.
Yes, and you know
so that it's more authentic, and you didn't even do the work.
Right. And
all you're doing is like
You know, I would have a master's degree right now. Right now, if this technology was available, I would be a master's degree, and somebody would be expecting me to be an expert, and I'm dumb as hell. I'm sitting there. I got a doctor's degree, dumb as hell, about to put the sponge in the wrong spot, leave it in, sew it up, all that stuff, because I cheated my way. Some things is better to try to actually learn how to do it, because when you keep skating by, when you get to a point that you actually got to know the stuff, or God forbid the Wi-Fi go down. And the people got, like, check your kids. Give them some cash and tell them to go in and tell the cash guy to give them a wrong change. Bet you half our kids come back with not enough money. They can't act.
No, they just give up.
They waiting for the computer, man. I'm telling you.
I don't know. That's just what he gave me. I don't know.
That's why a guy like Julius Randle can stick out in this type of environment, because he's an old school guy. Like old school guys that's willing to put in the work, guys that show up like the mailman every single day. That's how they can have nights like they had last night, Alan.
I love
because they are workers. They are workers.
He hasn't missed a game.
He was raised like the old school dude.
He's played 73 games. He's played every single game this season, and last night was special. Now, what ruined it, of course, is that it didn't end in a win. But still, what you saw last night was one of those remarkable things, like, again, only at the Garden, but also, you know, in Knick history, this is what you used to see. Now, it's a busy day. We have your calls, 800-919-3776. Right now at the Garden, speaking of the Garden, Rick Pitino being introduced as head coach of St. John's. So we add St. John's to the New York sports renaissance, right? We have that.
Man.
So we'll react to all that. We'll get some of the sound for you. We'll play it for you, what Rick has to say, and, of course, everybody else there. But clearly it's a big deal, because not only do you have – obviously, St. John's there, the AD and all that stuff. You have Val Ackerman there. I mean, you got Big East is celebrating this as well. Rick Pitino's return to the Big East, and see if he could bring this program to prominence. And on top of it, guess what happened today at Iona? As they say goodbye to Rick Pitino, they went and plucked Tobin Anderson from FDU.
Right. Somebody gonna
he was
pluck
at FDU
us?
For 1 year.
Somebody going to pluck us? We're going to pluck you.
Five-year deal. Good for him. But if you're FDU, you're like, wait, what? Wait, damn. Like, you couldn't even keep him for a year.
So,
but, hey, so you got a big year out of it.
So this is what I'm saying, right? I wonder if the Big East is there to celebrate the fact that they got a superstar coach back in their conference.
Back, yes.
And it's good for the conference. It probably means more ESPN games. If he turns around, it means higher recognition, visibility.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to ask you this. We all know St. John is struggling. We had the caller come in and say they shut down one of the campuses. Does the Big East step in and give St. John support? Do they write them a check?
What?
Do they give them the necessary? What do you mean what?
No. That's not how that works.
Ain't this good for the conference?
Well, it's very good for the conference, but that's not how it works.
Doesn't Rick Pitino have some list of demands to be able to pick up the organization, be able to lift the school up?
They're going to get out. They're going to get external support. You're going to get all kinds of boosted support. The people that want to invest in the program that will now start doing it because they believe the program now finally has invested – in their program by bringing in a big name coach and probably laying out the money it's going to cost, right? That's what you're benefiting from. That's it. It's as simple as that.
But Alan, tell me this.
What?
Should conferences be responsible for making sure the health of their conference is intact? Because we see these teams leaving conferences because they want more money to go to SEC.
They want the bigger deals. They want the TV deals.
Right. So what I'm saying is, if you want to hold on to some of these organizations that's struggling because they're not getting the money, should the conference as a whole take some money out of the pot? This is a bigger conversation that I'm trying to have. I feel like
– but I don't get the conversation.
St. John –
a conference can't support one school.
They should
support
all
everybody gets
schools.
A piece, but all the programs share a piece of whatever TV revenue the conference gets.
But tell me this. Does St. John's being authentic and being great cause the conference to get more visibility, potentially more national games, maybe a better deal in the long run if St. John's is back to where it used to be? Can that carry the conference that's down now? Nobody cares about watching Georgetown. Can it carry them? And if that's the case, rather you – like it's like Deion in the school that he was at, Jackson State.
Yeah.
The fact that Deion – was successful and was able to start getting money put behind there, shouldn't the conference, if need be, say, you're going to be our beacon? Doesn't mean that you're going to win. We're still going to compete like hell to try and beat you. But if we can use your your history.
No.
It should be that way, though.
No.
Because
it can't work that way. First of all.
It should be that way.
This conference has, you talk about its foundational
money,
programs are Villanova, and that's Philadelphia.
Yes.
It's UConn, which, you know, UConn women have always dominated. UConn men have been good and bad and back and forth. They're on the rise again with Danny Hurley.
Like who?
But they don't really have, like, again, they're trying to resurrect Georgetown. And I love Patrick, but he didn't do well there, and they brought in Ed Cooley. And we'll see if Ed Cooley can do what he did at Providence, which is, you know, make them a perennial power. So Georgetown, which is in Washington, D.C., that's a good market. So what the Big East needs to do, and I think you're seeing it, is their own programs have to invest where their biggest markets are. You know, DePaul, all right? That's Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And so you need DePaul to be good, and DePaul stunk this year. They're terrible. When you're in Chicago, in New York, you know, the Providence is the closest they are really to Boston, I believe, right? And that program is good, but that's just too small an area. And then, of course, you know, Georgetown in D.C., St. John's here in New York, when they were at their best – the Big East was at its best. You had Big Monday on ESPN. Big Monday meant Big East games were the first game, and the doubleheader, the second game, usually was a Big Ten game. And you don't have that anymore.
Because
the Big East doesn't have that same specialness that it used to have. Villanova, Philadelphia, yeah, you get that. And UConn, you'll get that at times. But aside from that, no other program, you know, Marquette, okay, Milwaukee, whatever. But Marquette, nobody's really going crazy to watch Marquette or Xavier or Creighton. Nobody's going crazy over those teams.
You
need St. John's to be good.
Right.
And you need them to invest. And they finally have done that, invested in the program. And you're going to see money now funneling into that program from outside, from people who want to support St. John's. And that's where you're going to see the difference. And you know what else you're going to see, Bart? Something that Rick is already promising. They're going to play more games at MSG. They're going to sell more tickets at MSG, and they're going to be on those big ESPN national broadcasts because of him and because of the way they're going to play, and he says how successful they're going to be. That's when you start really seeing the money roll in.
But, Alan, he's Rick freaking Pitino.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is if you want to elevate the entire conference, you got to go and spend money. I know he's an outlier because of his circumstances.
I'm still trying to figure out what you mean by spend money.
I'm saying they got to be able to – a team and a – listen, to get money, you got to spend money.
But what are you spending it on? Like, Bart, I'm really confused by where you're going. What are you spending money on?
I'm saying big-name coaches.
But the conferences can't pay coaches.
That's what I'm
schools pay coaches.
They need – listen, stop it, man. We know where the money – come on, stop it. If the money's there –
the money comes from TV deals.
If they can get – so they got Rick Pitino.
And sponsorships.
They got Rick Pitino. They need his – Every villain needs a good guy. They need to figure out how to bring in some, like, two or three coaches where, like, it's top heavy at least. Four coaches that's outstanding.
Well, all right, how about this? Then what do you think that this would spread? Now, again, Georgetown made an aggressive move, taking a guy from their own conference, and Ed Cooley does nothing but win. He's a great coach. So they bring him in. So Georgetown is trying to resurrect. Syracuse just lost Jim Boeheim, right? He finally has retired. They wanted to move on from Jim Boeheim.
They replaced him with Black.
But I'm saying they wanted to move on from Jim Boeheim. They wanted new blood up there. The thing is, when you bring in a guy like Pitino into the conference like this, it does wake up everybody else and make some of these schools think, we got to compete with this guy. Like, we got to compete with this guy. Can we compete with this guy? And do I need to go find myself now a big-name coach to compete with this guy? You know, like, so that could be what you're alluding to.
But it's not something
that Val Ackerman turns around and just starts telling schools, like, you know, hey, DePaul, you need to go out and hire, you know, whoever. You know, like, you need to go out and get Bill Self. That's not going to happen.
Because if this wasn't Rick Pitino, like, who's to say Rick Pitino turns his team around and, you know, St. John is back, but then UCLA calls or somebody bigger calls and coaches him again.
I mean, that is something that is out of your control. No, here's why Pitino's not going anywhere.
Okay.
All right, so he's got a place – On the winged foot. You know what winged foot is?
I heard his palatial estate.
He loves it there. He doesn't want to move. Like he's done. He's 70. He's done. He's settled in. Doesn't want to move. He's happy there.
So that
makes you think he's not really going anywhere.
This is the
perfect last step for him because he's a guy. He grew up in Bayside. He's a New York City. You know, he went to St. Dominic's on Long Island. Like this. This is like a perfect way to end where it all started.
Okay.
That's kind of why this just feels like the right way to finish it. Now I know what you're saying.
We thought that about
John Calipari decides he's done at Kentucky, and Kentucky comes and tries to get Rick Pitino, and they throw a boatload of money at him because in the first 3 years at St. John's, he's in the tournament again and all that stuff, and there's a lot of hype. And St. John's is going to have to figure out a way to keep putting cheese on the taco so that he won't leave.
Have you seen the palatial estate that Lincoln Riley got when he went to UCLA, USC?
Yeah, I'm aware.
For free?
I'm aware.
They'll get you for that.
I know. They'll get you a spot.
So I know he feel like he want to stay there, but listen, they can say, listen, we will lift this house here. You like this house, Potato? We will lift this house up, and we will build an exact replica of this house somewhere. So that's what I'm saying.
All right.
And when you talk about if you want to bring the Big East back, you got to put the big names back. You got to be able to get guys in the tournaments.
Well, the Big East.
What's their local deal? What's their deal?
Well, that's – again, here's where you and I – now, this is where I agree with you, is that this is somebody that comes in that does bring you some cachet. And the Big East has not had cachet in a long time. Jay Wright was – that guy at Villanova, they were unbelievably successful. A couple of national championships, always good every year. And Jay was sort of the standard that everybody else tried to live up to. Jim Boeheim was the venerable coach. He was around forever. Everybody knew him. He was funny. But his teams were sort of competitive, but not really, you know, other than obviously the Mello year. You know, they just haven't been that kind of team. UConn, you know, they had their run. Jim Calhoun has coached there a long time. And they had, you know, some moments, Kemba, obviously, the Big East tournament, all that stuff. Like, they had that. But it wasn't like the original Big East was not necessarily just as much about the star players, the Patrick Ewings, the Chris Mullins, and, you know, all those guys that, you know, made the league at the very beginning. It was also the coaches. the coaches were the biggest stars in that conference,
what,
man. John Thompson, Louis Carnesecca. Again, I mentioned Calhoun. Obviously, Boeheim, we mentioned him. P.J. Carlissimo was coaching at Seton Hall. Let's not forget that. That guy went on to coach in the NBA and everything else. But P.J. was coaching at Seton Hall, got them to a Final Four. Like, there was a time where that conference just had the biggest names coaching them.
And personality.
Rolly Massimino before Jay Wright, obviously, well before Jay Wright. Like, it just was different because the coaches were the stars. That, I guess, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Is can the Big East start attracting those kind of coaches? And to be honest with you, when you consider the markets, like I said, the markets that you're in, that's the part that I'm really surprised that we haven't seen you know, some type of a rebirth of this conference just because they're in Chicago, they're in Milwaukee, they're in New York. They're in D.C. They're in Philadelphia.
Yes, you need that bad East Coast blood. You need the blood. You need the beef. You need, like, personalities, like, clashing with each other.
Right.
Like, the bad blood. Like, this running up the score. Not shaking hands. You need all that type of beef within that conference, right?
Yeah.
Where it needs to be done in the biggest stages. And even when the selection committees come and you start to say, okay, well, we're going to put these teams in different brackets. No. Make them take something from each other early. Listen, conferences are stupid. You have to manufacture the drama sometimes. And what I'm saying is the Big East is a forgotten basketball conference.
I agree.
And to bring it back, you have to bring back the personalities, and you have to bring back the passion of these guys losing big games in big situations.
I agree.
So that the beef cut happens, and you got to provide them and pump money in there so that all these guys in these other schools – that go to these smaller schools because they know they can't play there and they got an extra year of eligibility and they already graduated. They got to make sure that the Big East wins those players because you got to get better players all the time. And to do that, you got to pay the price. So if it's important to the conference, for the health of the conference and the storylines to light up, then the conference as a whole got to start putting some money to some of these schools.
Well, the conference doesn't have money. The conference needs to go get a TV deal.
They need to borrow some damn big money and then say, you know what, we're going to get it back when we get this TV deal. Because if you put out the plan like that, whether it's on the record or off the record, this needs to be the conversations that are had to get this conference back because nobody pays attention to this conference.
No.
We looking at you.
Because there's no football. Because the Big Ten – and obviously, the SEC basketball was never, like, anything that great. But now, all of a sudden, you're just seeing SEC basketball really has been on the rise over the years. ACC has always been a power. Now, ACC football is not big time, like, in comparison to the SEC.
Yes.
But it's still, you have Clemson. You still have, you know, some competitive teams in when it comes to football. Big East never had football. And because of it, they don't have that kind of revenue that the Big Ten has. That the, you know, like, you just don't have it to compete financially with the Big Ten schools and the other schools.
But that's what you have to ask yourself. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Did they start pumping illegal money in there, or did they get the teams that start balling? Because SEC is just consuming other conferences.
Yep.
And you think about football, they're just consuming the conference.
Yep.
Taking the best teams in the other conference with the biggest fan base and the biggest TV markets.
That's right.
So the Big East got to fight back, man. Are you just going to die? Like, this is
well,
like,
they were starting
they were on life. They were on life support. Patino gives them a pause. But don't stop there because you can't just have Patino dominating the conference. Nobody will watch.
But again, you're not attracting a superstar coach to the Big East without a TV deal, without a mega TV deal,
right,
without something, without your own network. I mean, the SEC has its own damn network.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they all have – ACC has their own network. So you have the ability to play on national television – all the time. And the Big East doesn't have it as much. Jay Wright had this with Villanova because he was such a great coach and they had great success. But once he left, the cachet was gone. And now you see if Ken Patino, this is what I think you're trying to say as I'm figuring it all, I'm decoding it all. What can Rick Pitino bring not just to St. John's but to the Big East?
Yes.
That's what you're trying to say
same
here.
Same way Deion brought
in
you know,
New York.
HBCU.
Now, it's again, at Louisville, it's Louisville, right? Like, it's, but this is in New York.
Right.
So, can he do something to awaken what has been a sleeping giant of a conference for such a long time, at least in the world of basketball? 800-919-3776. But you know what, though, Bart, as we're talking here, Fran in Massapequa was already mad at you. Fran.
What's up, guys? Listen, first of all, you guys do an incredibly great job.
Thank you.
I purposely go out to the car to listen to you guys and do things. Yeah,
no,
you're just
great.
a great listen from all angles.
You know, you can listen from the app if you want. So
you can, but now that I'm sitting in the house, like a big fat guy in the basement. Okay.
I'm not suggesting a man gets naked. I'm not suggesting a man gets naked and listen to the tub. But you know, you could.
Well, I didn't say naked. I'm just saying I like being out, fresh air, breathing.
That's
baby.
It. Let him go. Let him go outside. It's fine. We love it. Get in your car. Go for a ride.
But anyway, my man, let me just say something. Can we get one day as one of the most incredible days in St. John's history without you talking about the sucker running to Kentucky? I mean, please, let him come here and just do something for us. We are so desperate to win. It's unbelievable. And the hell with the Big East. I want to win, St. John's to win. We'll worry about the Big East in 2 years when we're on top.
I love it.
We want to be back on top, man. It's so painful to be. It's unbelievable. And I'm a Met fan. And I want to just say something about the WBC.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. My million-dollar players ain't going there. It's that simple. It's ridiculous. My season's over now.
No Yankees,
so let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I'm a Met fan. No. My season's over.
Yeah, I know. I say the Yankees don't send nobody.
Hold on. The best closer in baseball, gone.
Yep.
Now, you tell me this. What sense does it make? It's absolutely it's stupid. Don't have the Major League Baseball. Just have a giant World Baseball Classic. Get rid of baseball.
Yeah, Altuve's broke surgery. Altuve's out, too.
But I got the best closer in baseball, gone. Because they do it – because baseball wants to do a tournament – before the regular season. It's one of the stupidest things in the world. And let's see the NFL do it. Let's, you know.
Man, we can't even get guys to play half hard in the All-Star in the Pro Bowl. We playing flag football and two-hand touching, catching balloons.
Guys, I'm going to leave you on this, and it's going to make 100% sense, and I hope you agree with me. Instead of the baseball All-Star game, let's do a two-week WBC tournament, something like that. At least I get half a season before
one
of my guys.
That's what the NBA is
going
to try to do. Yeah, Fran, I'm telling you. Thanks for
the guys are warmed up and stretched out.
Thanks for listening too, as well in the car. Great passion there from Fran. But I mean, that's the NBA's kicking something like that around because they know the All Star's a waste of time. Maybe they put a little bit of juice into a midseason thing.
You can go USA versus France. I mean,
that's what you do. You make All Star teams maybe of like you know
do a little
like,
tournament.
Three little things, and then you just say, I don't know, man. But whatever it is, it's been exciting finishes. I mean, Japan had a walk-off over Mexico, so now you can have U.S. versus Japan, Shohei Ohtani versus the billion-dollar lineup. And
I'll probably watch. I forgot the last name, our last Carlos name, but that's what
Frank.
I'm saying. Frank, that's why you over there. That's why you got people involved, right? Because other countries care more about it than maybe the USA players, right? But that's why the hell you go over there, and that's why you got your players playing if you're a Met. You go over there and talk to Shohei Ohtani and tell him, hey, man, we love you. We miss you. You do him like Fleece Johnson. I like you, and I want you. Now, we can do this the easy way. We can do this the hard way. Because, listen, Shohei Ohtani could mess around and be in your rotation by the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. If the Angels have a horrible season and you go over there, you're like, hey, Shohei, come over here, man. We'll give you the bag.
Hey,
look, we ready.
Bart, do me a favor. Look at the clock. What time is it?
Man, we've been having a great time, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The callers are there. They ready. Bunch of people pissed
we,
at me.
We just, we
Mike,
just,
Mike, think, Mike think I'm crazy. He think I'm Tropic Thunder. He think I'm Simple Jack.
We just talked for a half hour, commercial free. But now we got to take a break.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Patino, one of the things that he's saying during this press conference with St. John's, he said, a lot of players probably won't be back on this team.
That's what it's about, too.
Hop in the portal, boys.
You got to earn the right to wear that name on the front of your chest.
Oh, my God. Well, all right, before we get back to your calls, 800-919-3776. Oh, and actually, in fact, let's get to – this is the one that you pointed out, so let's go ahead and do that. And that is, of course, Mike in East Meadow. Go ahead, Mike.
Guys, big fan. I know I'm a big fan of the show. I think you guys are great, but listening to – so you guys talk college basketball was making me throw up in the car. I had to pull over. I had to call. But yeah. If you guys were talking about St. John's like it's the number one program in the Big East, I can't believe you haven't even mentioned the fact that you're talking about coaches, you're talking about this. Ed Cooley just went from Providence to Georgia.
Mike,
how isn't that a
Mike?
How
Mike, hang up, Mike. Dial back.
Whole segment.
Did you miss that entire conversation I had about Ed Cooley and how he left Providence for Georgetown and Georgetown went all in on a coach? Did you miss
Rick
that?
Because I just went. You're talking like Rick Pitino is the best coach in the country.
Is that what I said? Did I say he's the best coach?
We're talking about brand recognition.
Or is this like the biggest name that they have had coach them in 20 years? Like that's what I was saying.
St. John's getting Pitino doesn't solve any of their problems. They have
any.
That the
none.
Big East is the
that's
best conference
right.
of basketball.
That's not right.
None. It causes nothing. That, you don't think it's going to affect recruiting?
I'm wondering where Mike went to school because it's clearly not St. John's.
Right.
But, I mean, and look, Mike, like, in all honesty, if you're going to call to criticize something we're not talking about, you got to know that we literally talked about Ed Cooley. I talked about him yesterday. Talked about Georgetown being all in to bring in a guy. And I love Patrick. Patrick didn't do a good job. Bring in somebody that 12 years, you know, turned Providence into a team that every year was in the tournament, very competitive. So Georgetown made an aggressive move to get a coach like that. I talked about Jay Wright at Villanova and what he was able to do at Villanova. We've already talked about how the Big East struggles because they don't have football. They're not a premier conference anymore. But the idea is you bring in a guy like this and you know what he's going to do because he's done it everywhere he's gone. He gets players, he gets them to play hard, and he gets his teams to win. That's just what he does. All the other stuff, yeah. Yeah. Has he gotten in trouble? Yes. There's been other issues with him, no doubt about it. But the undeniable thing for a desperate program like St. John's is you go and get somebody that is going to inject energy and life into what has been a lifeless program for way too long. And more importantly, there are people who are boosters with lots of money who have stayed away from this program because they have always been careful hires. They've never wanted to go outside the box. Well, this is the first time you've seen them actually invest. And now you see boosters that are saying, all right, we're going to invest too. So if to say that it's not going to have any impact on St. John's, like that's a worse take than anything we probably could have ever said. Exactly. Tim in Stamford, Tim.
Hi, how you doing, guys? regarding the Big East, I think that Rick Pitino going to St. John's is a great move for the conference, like you said. I agree there. I usually agree with everything you say, but the fact that you're kind of just ignoring UConn their return to the conference, what it did for the conference. And
yeah,
it's not like Rick Pitino's going to go to St. John's, going to reinvigorate the program in a sense like when UConn plays St. John's, the Garden is still going to be a majority UConn
crowd. And when Villanova comes, it's going to be a lot of Villanova because we have that the base in New York City.
So close.
Clearly has a lot of Villanova graduates, has a lot of UConn graduates. I've never not said that. And, oh, by the way, Tim, I also did mention what Hurley's done there at UConn. And how UConn is, again, you know, they've gone ups and downs. I mean, they have.
They're right there.
But that's a very, very good program. It's always been. And I believe that's what I pointed out, that Villanova and UConn have kind of carried this conference because, I'm sorry, I know Creighton has been competitive. Xavier's been competitive. Ain't nobody paying attention to Creighton and Xavier, right? Like, nobody really is paying attention to them. But UConn and Villanova are the brands. It used to be that Georgetown, Syracuse, like, those were the brands. But now, Villanova and UConn are the brands. And the problem is that St. John's, which is based in the city, plays out of the Garden. That should be a brand, and you got a brand name coach. That's literally all we're saying here. No one is saying St. John's is now going to be the best team in the conference. St. John's is going to get all the recruits. We didn't say that. We just said for the first time in years, they're going to be a program to pay attention to, and it starts with a brand name coach. That's literally all we're saying here. All right, so that's the end of that conversation. Once we'll get some audio on Pitino, all the things he had to say. We'll play that for you.
The words that are coming out of my mouth.
That's what it feels like right now. Yeah, that's what it feels like right now. But we got your calls. We'll continue with them. Let's get into though what did happen last night at the Garden, and that is a great performance ruined by a bad ending, and where the Knicks are right now. But where Julius Randle is in your mind, as a Knicks fan, as a basketball fan, as a New York sports fan. Has this season done anything to completely wash away last year and maybe even raise him in your view? Because I know a lot of people will always talk to me about the Knicks and they'll say, you know, I love the way they're playing. But that Randle, it happens a lot. And I know how you feel. But I'm wondering if the performance last night did anything. Did it move the needle for you? Or do you remain, you know what, though? Turned the ball over, couldn't get that rebound. Like, that's, I think, the place that Randle is at right now. It's almost like he's great, but.
Thin line.
He's great, but. So I want to see, where is Randle right now? Has he moved the needle at all for you this season?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Has Julius Randle moved your needle? You got an answer for me?
Oh, yeah, he definitely moved my needle. I mean, I was a guy that was a proponent for saying, hey, this is probably the best he's ever going to play. You need to go ahead and see what you can get for him. I mean, he's definitely upped his value. And if he can play well in the playoffs, I think he moves up as far as the lore or just his status as a Knick. Mm.
So,
you know, I think he can if he keep playing at this type of level. I don't know how you don't put him out down as an all-time Knick, especially if they win a couple of series. They don't have to win a title, but if they start winning, he's playing and he hits some big shots.
Yeah,
he might be able to crack the top 15 of greatest Knicks or top 20 of all greatest Knicks of all time.
So he has moved your needle?
He has.
Phrasing.
Listen, I'm just not.
How many other people agree with you? 800-919.
He made the mercury rise.
3776.
Phrasing.
So, before we get back to the calls, Dirk Bentley is coming to PNC Bank's Arts Center on Thursday, July 27th, with support from Jordan Davis. Keep it locked in right here for your chance to score a pair of tickets. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this Friday from 10 a.m. at 10 a.m. from Ticketmaster.com. All right, so let's see if anybody else will agree that the needle has moved for Randle. Henry in the Bronx. Henry, how are we feeling?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good.
How you doing, Bart?
I'm good. Good Kuta Matata, man. What's up, Henry? Has Julius Randle moved your needle?
Offensively, yes, he moved the needle. But like Alan said about the butt,
that, but I feel like it's the turnovers from being double teamed. Not more or less just turning the ball over. It's the pressure of the double team in the moment. I feel like it's the reason why he's turning the ball over. But offensively, yes, he's moved the needle.
Okay, he's 57 points last night. I mean, that's, you know, it's
what he, more do you want from me?
It definitely feels like that, you know. But honestly, like he just,
what more do you want from me?
He had a great
third every
quarter.
Day.
The Knicks, it's another one of those games where it's like they couldn't do anything right defensively. Minnesota couldn't miss. I mean, they were making ridiculous shots. And you're down 16, and it's like, all right, nah, this isn't our night. And Randle just kept going and kept going and kept going, and he had an unbelievable third quarter. Ended up with, like, it was to a point where as you're watching it happen, you're saying to yourself, like, you know, he's getting closer. Like, he could get there. He could do it. And the next thing you know, he's got 50 in the third quarter.
Randle pulls back. Read on him. Randle, step back three. Bang! Julius Randle with 51, and the game is tied.
I mean, the Garden was rocking. It was really, like, unbelievable. And then you said to yourself, man, he's willing this team to win. But then, of course, the last 5 minutes happened, and it just, like, it ran out, and that's where, like you just heard the caller say, that's when the butt happens. Sean, Beth Page, Sean.
Hey, Alan and Bart, thank you so much for taking my call. A lot of the same stuff that the last caller said. And look, it's also unfair to pin that loss on him, right? Because you don't score 140 points without the other team just not doing anything on defense. Mm-hmm. So entirely, it's not on him because, like you said, he showed a lot of heart and willed the team back into the game. But, yeah. So then during the last few minutes of the game where he had that terrible turnover, I think it was just a lapse of judgment. He did that. He did like some terrible around the back move, seemed careless, and then immediately after that. So, okay, I understand he's completely gassed. He's human. I get it. But as a professional, you have to hold yourself accountable and not make those terrible, terrible impulse fouls. And he committed a foul immediately after that. Yes, but. So now, to answer your question, does he move the needle for me? Yes. But to the extent that I think now you have somebody that is a legitimate trade piece, and I appreciate the effort. You don't make that kind of change without taking a mature, honest look at yourself and saying, what can I do to better myself? Mm-hmm. And that I do think he has done, and I appreciate that.
Okay. I mean, that's the part, is that from what happened last year to this year, you at least appreciate him more. I'll tell you what, you know, Bar, how we do the whole, you know, the what, right? We do that thing. I'm going to need you guys, you, Jacob, and Ray. Instead, we're going to play the butt game when it comes to Randle, right? So I'm going to give you, like, all the different Randle things, and then you got to follow it up with butt.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm ready.
Randle scores 57 points. He ties Richie Guerin, third highest scoring game in franchise history.
But.
Yeah, Randle, 19 of 29, 8 of 14 from 3, 11 of 13 from the free throw line in this game.
But
25 points in the third quarter. That's a franchise record for a quarter.
But
9 of 10 field goals, 5 of 6 from 3, 3 of 4 free throws. He played all 12 minutes in that third quarter.
But
he had 52 points going into the fourth quarter. That was 10 points shy of Carmelo Anthony's franchise record.
But
wait, he did? No, I'm sorry. Wait, what?
Yeah, but give me that one more buck, because this one will give it to you right now.
But
he had a chance to secure a defensive rebound down three, but it was knocked away. That's legit why we play that game.
What's the greatest ever performance in a loss that you've ever seen? I guess we have to go regular.
Bernard
season.
King scored 60 points on Christmas Day in 1984 against the Nets and lost.
Yeah.
I mean, you score 60 points and lose. That's, you know, like.
I guess mine's is Isaiah Thomas, 25 points on a busted ankle
Yeah.
Or hamstring. In the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the greatest thing.
Well, if you're talking about like ever, yeah, I would probably call that one of the greatest performances in a loss.
Yeah.
But I mean,
hey, I wonder if our fans have one. If you guys have one, call us in. Tell us what the greatest
performance you've ever seen in a loss. 800-919.
Keep it to basketball.
3776.
Let me tell me, Kellen Winslow Jr. Come on, all right, stop it.
We're talking basketball.
We're talking about round ball.
What happened?
We're talking about round ball. Don't call it football or tennis.
What are you talking about?
Or baseball.
Oh, you mean like if you're answering the question of the best performance in a loss?
Yeah, keep it to basketball.
Keep it to just basketball?
Yeah, keep it to basketball.
Fair enough. Chris in Wausau. Chris, how are we feeling?
Hey, Alan, Bart. Listen, Bart, I was like you a couple weeks ago. I was the one saying we should trade Randle right now. It had nothing to do with Randle's game. It was just, you know, trade him while he's as hot as he is. Alan, you said we couldn't get a first. Josh Hart went for a first. I digress.
Josh Hart, you didn't get a first for Josh Hart. You traded a first for Josh Hart.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You know, Josh Hart can get a first, but Randle couldn't a couple weeks ago. Whatever it is,
because you were giving up Cam Reddish. That's why.
I'm not going to touch that point. Listen, I've been almost a bit of a hater all year. I've been trying to check in. I'm a Knicks fan until I die, and you know, watching Randle play, it's amazing. Randle's a great player. And, you know, the Knicks during the regular season, it's so much fun to watch because every night we beat the Nuggets. We beat the Celtics in the regular season series. We've beaten the Bucks. But the problem is, like, when yesterday comes, like, you can see that if we were to play a team for a series the way we are presently constituted, there's not a lot of teams you feel comfortable winning a series against. Any night, give me any team in the league, I think this team can go up and get against them. But with the way we play our offense, like, listen, Sims, for crying out loud, Sims, Randle just put up 26 in the third. I get he needs a rest, but play him to start the fourth still.
What? Like, he played 12 minutes. He played the whole third quarter, Chris. He had to. He was exhausted at the end of the third quarter, Chris. You had to sit him down.
He sat him for 5 minutes, Alan. That was too much time.
Well, he wanted to give him as much rest as possible so he could be strong to finish that game.
And what happened?
Wait. We can't do this. No, Chris, we can't do this. We can't say Tibbs runs guys into the ground and then conversely say, you should have played him all the way through. You can't do that.
He's played every game.
Alan, I know. But, Alan, come on. You can't tell me that when you're watching us, you know we're gonna beat. We can beat any team on one given night.
The bench gave you a five-point lead. The bench gave you a five-point lead, man. That game was there to be won, and the starters came back in, and they were not able to win the game. That's a reality.
We don't have a good closing offense, and that's the issue when it comes to the playoffs.
Well, you didn't that night. You didn't last night. Let me explain. And Chris, I appreciate the call. You didn't close well because Jalen Brunson was not good. Brunson was bad at the end of the game.
Working his way back.
Yeah. You could see he just wasn't right. But B, he would go into the paint. Rudy Gobert's there. And he, you know, the Stifle Tower.
Right.
And Brunson would look up and he's like, yeah, I'm not shooting that. like that's literally what was happening. He'd get into the paint, look up, and like, nope, not shooting that.
Yeah, I don't have an angle.
I didn't have the angle. I didn't like the way it felt. So, I mean, look, Brunson admitted himself. He didn't play well. He did not have a good game. He had 23 points, but he didn't play well. And he's your closer. Randle's not a closer. We know this. Brunson's a closer. And he was not able to close that game. And their defense certainly couldn't do it either. So they lost.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.